Well, being you couldn't hear the video announcements, I wanted to just touch briefly, thank you, Pastor Mary, on something that's coming up, the rally on February 7. How many of you in here have ever been to the rally? We've had one. Yeah, okay. All right, well, we got to help the rest of you because the video announcements, we're going to have to bump it up, is not really doing it justice. We have a real-life cookout going on in the courtyard. We all eat together. We have some crazy skits, some surprises. You have no idea what's going to happen during the rally. We have lots of fun, and we need help. We need help at all the services. And our goal is that everybody that serves here as an usher or a greeter, that they serve one Sunday a month and they get the other three Sundays to just attend or do other things. Don't you think that's fair? I think that's really, really fair. And there's nothing more fun being in the family than helping in the kitchen. You know you're really, really family when you're invited to help come in and clean up the kitchen. And so that's what we're just asking you to pray about. Come and spend the day with us and find out how you can get involved. We're also going to be recruiting for security. So you don't want to miss that. We'll be here, and it's just a lot of fun. So mark your calendars for February 7th. You do not want to miss that. Amen? Well, I never take it lightly that I'm get a chance to share with you today, church family. It's always a great honor to be able to speak and to be able to deliver what God has put on our hearts. And I'm so grateful to Pastor Mike and Mary. I'm so grateful to serve with them and with their great leadership. Aren't we blessed as a church? I'm telling you what, we just are. And my passion is just one really important thing to me. My passion, what wakes me up in the morning, what floats my boat, what makes me say Shabba Habba, is when I can help someone else find out what it is they're called to do and then help make a way, give them access to step into that. Isn't that fun? I love, 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 love when I can see someone else stepping into what they've been called to do, even if sometimes it's my own place. I'll just move over and I'll find another place because it's more important that everybody is functioning in the body of Christ. So I want to just continue where Pastor has been sharing, only mine is kind of a little bit different vein, but I want to share on vision tonight. Are you sick of hearing about vision? I'm not sick of hearing about vision. We're going to declare vision until we see every one of us stepping in and functioning confidently, taking steps toward what God's called us to do. Amen? Growing up, they had a lot of ball games in our little community, and there were two reasons I didn't get to go. You want to hear them? Okay. The first reason was is we were too poor to pay the 50 cents to get in to the games. And the second reason is my dad thought if you went to a baseball game that you were going to go to hell. And that's he doesn't believe that today, but anyway, that's what he believes. So the baseball fields that we had around us had a big high wall around it, and you couldn't see what was going on inside. You could hear it. You could hear the ball being hit and everybody screaming and carrying on. And so we would run around from knothole to knothole, literally, and watch the game. Y'all are laughing at me. It's a true story. Sometimes I feel like people in the body of Christ who hear about vision all the time, who see people being launched into ministries, going to mission fields, teaching a class, working on the prayer team here, sometimes I feel like other people that aren't really involved feel like that there's a game going on. It's so exciting. There are so many people doing exciting things, winning. Things are happening. But you're on the outside of the fence looking in, and you don't really feel like you fit or you belong. Anybody in here feel like that tonight? Go ahead. Be brave. Raise your hand all over the building. I know the Holy Spirit. I had a whole different word yesterday, and I got up this morning. Don't ever ask the Lord what he really wants to say, because that usually means he's going to change your direction. But I really felt like he ministered to me today, and he said there are going to be people in this room tonight who hear about vision, who dream about vision, but have no capacity or have not yet stepped in or activated any vision in your life. And tonight I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to the rest of you as well, but I really feel like when you hear this word, you're going to be set free, because I'm going to give you some steps to unlock vision in your heart. I'm going to give you some steps so that you can start being activated in what God's called you to do, and that you're no longer on the sidelines. The other thing I'm going to encourage you is if you're doing something and you know that there's something more, I'm going to challenge you tonight to step up and take on something else. Be brave enough to try something new. It's kind of like restaurants. If you always go to Japanese food, you're always going to know what you're going to get in Japanese food. You're never going to be surprised. You're going to get the same waitress and blah, blah, blah. That's no fun. You need to try all kinds of restaurants, right? That's what's really, really fun. So I'm going to encourage you today to expand your vision and allow the Holy Spirit to just stretch you tonight to where you can see yourself doing things tonight that you've never seen yourself doing before. Are you ready? All right, so here we go. Pastor quoted this scripture last week in Habakkuk 2. It says, instructs us to make the vision plain and to write it down and to wait for it, for it's on its way. And I wonder if the ushers, if we have any of those cards left from Sunday. I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you were not here Sunday, raise your hand. They've got these cards here, and we're going to give you a card because our pastor was diligent in writing down this crazy vision. Yeah, there's a number of you. That he feels like God wants to do at CFTN in 2015. And in order for us to get on board with that, we have to take that vision. I've got mine taped up on my pantry door. And every day I'm reading that vision. I'm declaring that vision to come into being. And whatever part that I play in that vision, I want to be involved. I'm not going to be on the outside of the ballpark watching as the game goes on. Yeah, we've still got a number of hands being raised, so I'm just going to keep talking as you pass those out. If we wait for it, it's on its way, and it will come right on time. One condition, if we don't quit. How many of you have heard Pastor say the only reason he's here today and he's successful today is because he did not quit? I never get tired of hearing that because it's so true. The key to winning and to stepping into what God's called you to do is to not quit, to not give up. If we quit and we give up, we say, okay, devil, forget it. You can have my vision. I quit. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to eat worms and I'm going to die because that's all I have. Well, we're not quitters here today, right? Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, what happens? We all perish. That's just a very, very common scripture. So I'm going to share some common scriptures with you and then I'm going to stretch you a little bit. Isaiah 26:3, and I believe that I sent the scriptures in and hope they should be up there. I'm reading out of the message. People, now listen to this. People with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole, steady on their feet, because they keep at it and they don't quit. There's that word again. They don't quit. So they keep at it. So how many of you started dreaming at the first of the year how you would like 2015 to look completely different than 2014? I don't know about you, but 2014 wasn't my pick of the years. It just wasn't. We survived, we thrived, we advanced, but there was just some things that I didn't see happen in my own life that I really, really wanted to see. Am I the only one in here? I don't think so. Yeah. So I'm believing that 2015, all those things that we're contending for, if we will wait for it, we will focus on it, we will ask Holy Spirit to make it happen, and then ask Him to give us steps to activate that. I believe that even as quick as June, we're going to see ourselves stepping into areas, Pastor Wade and Priscilla, that we've never seen ourselves in before because we're activating what God's put on our heart. Amen? Psalms 119, verse 1, you're blessed when you stay on course. Here we go. Walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find Him. That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road He set. You, God, prescribed the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. Isn't this awesome? I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. Are we struggling with our vision today? Are we even struggling to kind of bring it into where it's, you know, legible, where it's readable? Or do we have 37 things out there we think we might like to do someday, but we're not too sure how many of them we're actually going to pull off, so we're really nothing's going to happen. Are you not activated? Are we frustrated? I know some of you are because I see you regularly, so do you want me to come out and lay hands on you? I'm not going to do that. Do you want me to come out and say, and the Lord has said, and I won't do that, but I'm talking to you today. We're in a season right now at church, CFTN, of establishing vision. We really are. And the direction that we're going to go. Declaring and pushing for that vision. 24-hour prayer. Declaring and pushing. God wants to establish vision for families. Oh, yes, he does. For individuals and as a church. So how do you get started on this whole vision thing? Well, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. If we stay in a state, how many of you in here are ADD or even have had that, like you flit from one thing to the next to the next? I think I've diagnosed myself here the last 5 years. I might just be a little bit of that. So it's really hard to stay, you know, on one thing until it's finished. And so we stay in a state of being overwhelmed. We write a little bit of this, we read a little bit of that, we make a few phone calls, then we got to go back and check Facebook, and oh, we can't leave out Instagram, and I'm a Craigslist addict, so oh, I got to check. Y'all are laughing because you do the same thing. So many times we'll use social media as a way to distract ourselves from having to commit to the vision that God's put on our heart. Another thing I do is I go cook. Okay, well, the Lord's trying to deal with me. Gee, I think, what could I cook? And Bob will hear me, and they're slicing, dicing, chopping, and go, oh, boy, here we go again. And I'll just be cooking up. He said, who's going to eat all that food? I said, I don't know. I'm just frustrated. And if we will recognize that and we will own it and we will just be still, God will come. Let me ask you a question. Have you written down your goals yet? Let's be honest with ourselves. If you've written down your goals for this year, stand up. Ooh, this gets really, okay. No shame on the ones that are still seated. Honestly, it's not. We're not going to come out and cast that spirit of procrastination out of people. But I really encourage you to write your goals down. My favorite scripture is in Debbie chapter 3, verse 2, that says, blessed is he who aims at nothing, for he shall surely hit it every time. Feel like you're shooting out in the air? Here we go. So today I want to talk about getting our sight adjusted to focus on vision. Have you ever been to the eye doctor? I don't love going to the eye doctor. I don't love going to any doctor. But when you go to the eye doctor, before he'll give you, say, well, I can't really read anything anymore. I'm holding it way back here. Or I can kind of tell if that light is red or green, but it's a little bit fuzzy, you know, it's... So he'll say, okay, well, come in. We're going to make an appointment. And the first thing he does is he sticks that obnoxious light right into your eyeball, and he checks for the health of your eye first. Isn't that interesting? He'll check for glaucoma. He'll check for cataracts. He'll check for any injuries. He'll check for any blockage, anything that would dim your vision or any infection. And so the reason that he does that, he knows it's not going to do any good to prescribe us glasses if there's something that's actually blocking and hindering the health of the eye itself, right? It's a revelation the Lord gave to me today. So I want to talk about a few of the things that I believe that it would block us from stepping into the vision that God's called us, things that I've dealt with in my own life. I'm just going to be transparent tonight, and things that will arrest us and hinder us and from stepping in. And so God wants to transition us today, tonight, Wednesday night, from on the outside of the action to stepping on to the inside of what God's really doing in the kingdom. Isn't that exciting? I tell you what, your wait is over tonight if you listen to this word. First thing I want to deal with is talk about is unforgiveness. Anybody ever dealt with that? I'm the only one in the room. I realize that. But unforgiveness will distort your perspective on life. Unforgiveness will cause us to not trust anybody. It will cause us to keep walls up. It will cause us to be judgmental. Well, if they lied on me, then everybody's going to lie on me. If he cheated on me, then everybody's going to cheat on me. So that unforgiveness is lodged in our heart, and it becomes toxic to the way that we walk our walk and the way we step into what God's called us to do. It literally arrests our future. It arrests our lives. Second one I want to deal with is fear. That's a big one. I personally was delivered from a spirit of fear when I was, in my 20s, and our house had caught on fire on one end of the wall, and I wasn't ever afraid of anything. I'd been to the mission field, I'd had guns aimed at me, I was hungry, I was basically, it was just a rough time, and I wasn't afraid of any of that. I just anticipated the next challenge. But when that something happened, and when that chimney in our house caught on fire, the fire department came, it shocked me so bad that as the weeks went by, I began to digress into a spirit of fear. And week after week, and I've shared this, I think, in the school, but week after week, I got to where I could sleep less and less. And every night, I would get up, because in the Midwest, we heated our whole house with a fireplace that was a wood-burning furnace. You could put logs in this big. By the way, I love to split wood. I love to start fires. I love all this. I don't like to camp, but I like to do that. So I was the one that manned the fireplace, because I like doing that. I told Bob, I said, that's my job. I want it. Of course, he didn't say, no, you can't have it. So as after the fire, week after week would digress, and I would get less and less sleep, and I started getting even where it affected my body physically. And I would wake up in a panic, and I would run down and check the fireplace. Well, that wasn't good enough. I'd run outside. We're on acreage. I'd run about a half an acre down the hill, and I'd look up to make sure that fire wasn't coming out, shooting out of the top of that chimney, literally. Well, on about week number 4 or 5, the enemy had me so traumatized, I was getting zero sleep. And I was being overtaken by a spirit of fear. It was arresting me. We were on staff at a church. It was hindering my ministry. It was hindering what I was doing at the church. It was hindering everything in my life. So one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I jumped out of bed. I ran outside, checked the fireplace, ran outside. And this time, I could smell the smoke. I knew our house was on fire. And I was praying in tongues as I ran down that hill, looked up there, just smoke just curling out of the chimney. And as I ran, I had a big fuzzy robe on, and I fell in the snow, and I rolled all the way to the bottom of the hill. Well, when I got up, I looked like the abominable snowman. I looked at myself, and I thought, this has gone far enough. And I marched back up that hill, and by this time, I'm not a happy camper. I'm mad. I'm mad at the enemy. I'm mad at myself. I marched up there, I sat in front of that fireplace, and I prayed in tongues until 6 in the morning, until I felt that thing literally lift off of me. It was absolutely glorious. It was wonderful, and I never had fear again of any kind, ever. So I'm encouraging you tonight, whatever it is that you're afraid of that's consistently harassing you, might be more than one thing, I'm double-dog daring you to own it and face it tonight. Because at the end, we're going to give you a chance for prayer or to find somebody that you want to pray with. And I know that God can break that off of you tonight, because it will keep you from stepping into the vision that God's called you. Because if you take fear into your vision, it will taint your vision, and it will handicap, and it will limit how far you can go with your vision, because you're going to be afraid of failure. Amen? Isaiah 12 says, God is my salvation, my strength, and I trust. I will not be afraid. Can you say that with me tonight? I will not be afraid. Some of you need to say that a little louder. I will not be afraid in Jesus' name. Another thing that will block our eyesight is the opinion of others. Oh, that's a big one. How many of you have been disqualified from your dreams and your visions? How many of you have got these little constant people in your life say, well, that'll never happen. Who do you think you are? Well, you're not Pastor Mike. That's never going to happen. You can't write. You can't sing. You can't travel. You can't go to the mission field. And if we choose, and it is a choice, to listen to the opinion of others, I promise you, it will arrest your progress. Look at it this way. They're not paying your bills. Yeah. They're not in charge of your life. So their opinion is their opinion. The next step you need to do is make a shift relationally and get away from people who are constantly speaking negative to you. Just say, you know what? I love you, but I can't have a relationship with you right now because the negativity isn't helping me get where I need to go. And I'm going where I'm going to go, so I'm going to shift here. Amen? Some of you are going to make a decision tonight before you leave that you're going to cut off some negative relationships. Shame and guilt. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation, zero, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation. We sang about that tonight. My shame is gone. I love that song. Love it. Do we believe it tonight? Because if we're walking in shame, it will stop us from qualifying ourselves to walk into the vision that God's given us. It just will. How about regret? That's a big one. A sense of loss or disappointment or dissatisfaction. Anybody wake up feeling that every day? Oh my God, another day. Are you kidding me? I know some of you do that. Isaiah 43:18. Listen to this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. How many of you know we can't fix the past? How many of you know the past is past? We need to start declaring that to people in our lives. When they start bringing up, well, you can't do that because, you know, after all, you were a drug addict. Or after all, you were a thief. Or after all, you were in prison. Or after all, you robbed a bank. Or whatever you did. If people constantly remind you of that, change friends. Go get some new friends. It's okay. Find friends that are not going to hold your past against you. Find friends that are going to affirm you and promote you and push you to your next level in Jesus. Here's a big one, pride. Block our vision every time. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Let me just tell you something, going back to the rally. Servanthood will get you qualified for anything you want to do in ministry. I'm going to say that again. Servanthood will get you qualified for anything you want to do in ministry. So many times we want to read a book, get a degree, or get close to somebody we think can give us what they want, or what we want. But in reality, if we will start serving, Jesus will notice and Jesus will promote. He does it every time. I've watched him. I've really watched him. I was serving one time at a conference. I loved to be in the kitchen and all that kind of fun stuff. Did it for years. And I was in this conference and I was just doing what I did every year. This is year number 9 for this conference. I went in there and whipping up food for everybody. And a dear sweet sister that ran the kitchen, Sally Murray, she's like my spiritual mom. She came in. She's real loud. And she said, Debbie, the Lord told me to tell you, give me that apron and get out of this kitchen. God's got a promotion for you. Just like that. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. That's really weird. So she ripped the apron off of me, and I thought, okay. So I just kind of went out and sat in the congregation. I no sooner sat down than the leader of the conference said, Pastor Debbie, I'm so glad you just came in here. The Lord told me you have a word for us. Would you come up and share? Okay, so I'm trying to get the mashed potatoes out of my fingernails real quick because I've been making hash. I mean, I've been making stuff like crazy, and I'm trying to refocus. But I tell you what, within a few seconds, I was on the platform delivering the word of the Lord. God broke out, and I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. But I wasn't on the front row, go pick me. I got a word. No. Just go serve and watch Holy Spirit promote you because that's how he rolls every time. Hopelessness, depression is another one that will keep us from getting into our vision. You know, we've got people in this church, it's just interesting to me, people that have been here a short time or just arrived, and they've been so beat up by life. I call this a place where broken people come. Amen? Isn't that just awesome? I love a church where anybody that's broken is welcome to come. And they come in there so broken that when we talk about, yay, we're going to take our mountain, or we're going to step into our vision, or they can't even see how they're going to make it through the rest of the day. Don't even have a clue what a mountain is, and never had a vision in their whole life of anything other than survival. And that's what we deal with so much here. And it's our assignment as a family of believers is to just be contagious to people that come in and start promoting their well-being, start promoting their hearts and their spirits and their lives, and say to them, you can make it. God's called you to do something. Everybody in this room is called to accomplish something more than what we're doing today. Everybody in this room. That's what I love about Kingdom is nobody's excluded, everybody's included. It's all in. Everybody has a part. When we are consumed with hopelessness and depression, and Pastor shares a lot about how he suffered depression, without hope, despairing, impossible to accomplish. There's no resolve. There's no end to it. It's a cyclical thing where you wake up hopeless and you go to sleep hopeless. The only time there's any kind of hope is maybe when some great family or friends come around. You have a brief time, and then the minute they leave, you watch them go down the driveway and you sink right back down into hopelessness again. The way to remedy that is to discover what your vision is, what God has for you to do, and hang on to that when there is nothing else to live for. I thought it was remarkable this week when a couple weeks ago when a young military guy, did you read that? In Miami, he fell off of his own fishing boat. Don't laugh. It wasn't funny. 12 miles out in the ocean. 12 miles. And I forget how many hours he swam. Was it 24 hours straight? 9 hours straight? Straight. And the only thing that got him there is that he stayed focused. He was determined not to let the sea win. He was determined not to give the sea his life. He was determined not to quit. He was so exhausted when he did get to shore, he had all kinds of medical issues with his muscles that were just ripped and shredded and excruciating pain, but he survived 9 hours on the ocean, swimming through the night, feeling the sharks brushing up against him, never knowing if he was going to see the next day or another loved one, but he was determined. They tell us that if you're out in the ocean and you get disoriented, and I like to snorkel, and if you're out there and you're out of ways and you get disoriented, you have to get up and you have to see either the boat you're going back to or land, and you don't get your eyes off of that because you can swim around, I understand, in circles for hours and hours and hours and eventually just give up from exhaustion. But if you'll look at the land or the boat that you came from as a sign and a landmark, you will make it back every time. I'm encouraging you today to find out what it is that God's called you to do and to be, because if you've got that to look forward to, it will keep you from quitting every time. It just will. When all hell breaks loose in your life, but you've got your eye on a vision and on a goal and something that you know you're called to accomplish, and that if you don't accomplish it, other people are going to suffer and die, it will make you keep swimming no matter what. I promise you it will. The next thing the eye doctor does is he takes you after he discovers there's no diseases in your eyes, and after we've taken care of anything in our eye that would block our vision, the next thing he does is he puts that goofy eye chart out there. And he always tries to get you to read the smallest line. I'm like, yeah, right. Is there even a line down that far? For real. Your ability to focus on the lines is measured, and then there is a prescription that is issued to you, right? But if we don't wear the glasses that's been prescribed to us, our vision will not improve. Am I the only one that has a really hard time after the doctor issues you a new prescription? I put them on and think, I can't see a thing out of these things. I throw them on the table, yeah. I go back to my little 25-cent, you know, CVS pharmacy ones. And I'll go back a few days, I can't see anything out of these. He says, well, Debbie, how long have you been wearing it? How many hours have you worn them? Well, I tried them. I walked from here to the car, and they didn't work, so they're on my counter. He just laughed and shake his head. He said, no, you have to keep them on until your vision adjust to the prescription, and once it adjusts to the prescription, everything will come into greater focus for you to see. Yeah? Some of us tonight are going to have to change the lens that we're looking through. We just are. If we can't see ourselves ever succeeding, we can't see ourselves ever taking our mountain. We can't see ourselves ever being creative if we're called to create. And we just can't see it. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit tonight to just do a lens adjustment on us to where we can, as Pastor says it so excellently, if you can see it, you can have it. But so many times we excuse ourselves from not being, having, and doing what we need to be, do, or have because we can't see it. Well, I don't see it out there. There ain't nowhere. Well, put your glasses on. And you'll be able to see it because Holy Spirit wants to change our perspective. We have to focus. Isaiah 26:3 says, people with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole. Steady on their feet. Here we go again, because they keep at it and they don't quit. Stand firm and you will win life. Wow. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about distractions tonight. One thing I can prophesy to everyone in here is there's distractions that are going to come. The only good thing we can say about the enemy is that he's very consistent and very good at what he does. He's a liar. He creates distractions. He discourages. He disqualifies. That's his job. So it's our choice whether or not we can allow and permit the enemy to be successful, or we can create havoc in his plans and we become successful. So there's this constant tug of war on every time, constant tug of war. So tonight, I would like us just to take a moment, as I'm just sharing here, and I want you just to even think today about what distractions came your way to keep you from moving towards something that you said that you were going to do every day. You know, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I mean, forget about going to the gym every day. You know we don't make it, right? There's distractions. Witnessing. Some of you in here have been called to, like, create a Bible study for small groups of just different subjects that you've actually walked through yourself. And you just can't quite pull the trigger on that. Some of us have been called to get involved in voluntary work in our community, just to be there and to be love and to be Jesus. But it just seems like every day there's one more thing that comes up. I told Bob today, I said, my pantry is a distraction to me. He just looked at me because he knows I'm on this roll right now. And he goes, how's that? And I said, I go to the store, I get everything I think I need, and I go to the pantry and there's always one more thing. I said, you know what? I'm going to start waiting until there's seven things before I have to run and get that one thing, because it's a distraction. It's a time waster, and I personally will use that. Here we go. To keep myself occupied so that I'm not really doing what God's asked me to do for that day. I'm just putting it out there. So just ask ourselves, what is it that distracts us? If you need to, write it down or write it in your phone or something. And then challenge yourself tomorrow morning when you get up. Say, oh, no, you don't. Uh-uh. Because once we see it and we identify it, we can take care of it. But if we refuse to look at it and identify it and own it, it just keeps happening over and over and over. And then December 2015 rolls around and go, there's another year I didn't pull that off like I was going to. Are we focused or are we distracted tonight? Isaiah 43:1, don't be afraid, I've redeemed you. I've called your name, you're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God. Says Isaiah 45:2, I'll go ahead of you, clearing and paving the road. See, he's waiting for us to take a step. If we take one step, he'll probably take 10 and just kind of smooth it out there for us. He's not here to make our life difficult. He doesn't give us challenges and say, oh, I'll bet you can't pull that one off because I'm going to throw 37 things in front of you to make sure it doesn't happen. That's not how he works. He wants us to succeed because he knows in our succession is when we're the happiest. Amen? When we're not succeeding, we're the most frustrated. And God doesn't want a frustrated church and a kingdom. He wants a happy church and a kingdom. And the way that happens is just by being and doing, living in righteousness, peace, and joy, and pursuing what he's given each and every one of us, a gift to unfold for the world. Did you know that God has a tattoo Pastor Bob found this scripture for me. Yeah. I'm so over that now. I'm good with tattoos. God has a tattoo. In Isaiah 49:13, he says, God has tattooed us on the back of his hand. How awesome is that? You know, if you've got something on the back of your hand, you're never going to forget it. It's never going to be more than a few seconds away from you. Every time he looks at it, he goes, ah, there's Marla. Oh, there's Daniel. Yes. There's Kirk. Going to make it. Yes. Go for it. Go, 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 go. He's cheering for us. He must have an awfully big hand, but I think he could pull it off. If we fall, we just get up and move forward again. That's that easy. Just get up and move forward. I'm so glad that Peter and Paul stayed with their assignments. Paul was assigned to the Gentiles, and Peter, as we know, was assigned to the Jews. I'm so glad they stayed with their assignment. They were persecuted beyond belief, rejected, suffered untold miseries, tortured on every level, but they stuck with their assignment. And I think they died happy. I think they died full because they died accomplishing what God called them to accomplish. I'm going to close with this tonight, and I want to just spend a little bit of time in prayer because I really feel like the Holy Spirit is dealing with us tonight, and I feel like, and I know there's going to be tremendous breakthrough, and it's like I see God with it. Bob carries this little, Pastor Bob carries this little battery thing in the back of his Jeep that will start any car. It's a portable thing. I don't even know what you call it. I call it a thingamadigger. But it also airs up my tires on my bike, so it's really kind of a cool thing. So what I kind of see tonight is that God wants to jumpstart some people here, literally, that's been frozen. And sometimes when we come out so strong at the beginning of the year with vision and God's so great and all this, sometimes I feel like some of us get arrested because we haven't really stepped into that yet. We don't fully comprehend it, or we don't even know where we're going or what we're going to be when we grow up, right? So I feel like tonight that the Holy Spirit really wants to jumpstart some of us in this room and encourage us to step in and to move forward. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. Don't really strip down, please. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight, here we go, of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Amen? Can't lose sight of where we're going, but if we don't know where we're going, then we just keep going in circles, and we get more and more frustrated. Sometimes we find ourselves getting angry at people who know where they're going. It's like, well, don't they think they're all that in a bag of chips? I hear it all the time. It's okay, we're just humans. Sometimes it's hard to celebrate other people's success because we don't even know where we're going or what class to take first. And I want to encourage you tonight, I don't want to sound like a commercial, but if you are new to the church or you're not new and you haven't taken Rewind, Rewind is a great way to get your eyesight cleared up. It really is. They deal with every one of these issues tonight that I talked about. A great way. We see so many people get set free, and then when they come out of there, they're saying, now, where do I start? I'm ready now to take my mountain. I'm ready to have vision. I'm ready to step into what God's called me to do. So if you've not taken that class, I really encourage you to take it. If you've taken that, then get into some small groups. Take on your mark. Go to the Supernatural School of Ministry. That'll rock your world. These guys over here are just turbo on every level. They really are. I love our school. So tonight, I just want to ask you, if you just stand to your feet. This was just kind of more casual tonight, more informal, but I really want to get a message home to each and every one that's in this room tonight, that you do have a call, a vision, an assignment. You do have a worthy adversary who is doing his dead level best to distract you and to disqualify you, whether it's through family, friends, relationship, doesn't matter. The discouragement is there. And God tonight wants to come through for each and every one of us. He wants us to realize and understand that he's there and we can make it. We can do this. This is a church of vision. We have such an incredible visionary for a pastor. Sometimes he just makes us all crazy because he's got so many things. But we pick up the ones we can carry and we run with them because it's God. So you can't stay in this house without being overwhelmed and infected with vision. You just can't. I'm just telling you. You're going to wake up and understand that God's got something for every one of us to do. And you're also going to understand that you're not disqualified. I don't care where you're at in life. If you've been saved 3 minutes, God's got a plan for your life. If you haven't been saved yet, guess what? God's still got a plan for your life. When you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. And he loved you. And he had plans for you. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to ask our prayer team to come tonight and any of the students that are qualified to help. And we're going to just take a moment tonight. If you're not comfortable coming forward, just wave your hand and we'll get someone to come to you. But I really want you tonight to get prayer. If you've been arrested in your vision or if you've gotten started on your journey and you just feel like that all hell is broke loose and you're not sure you can pull it off, well, I got news for you. You can't pull it off, but he can pull it off through you. Amen? The key is that we don't quit and we don't give up. Amen? So I'm going to invite you to come forward tonight, those of you that the Lord is speaking to right now. I know there's a number of you, and we're just going to wait on the Lord here. Those of you that are not coming forward, just pray and ask the Holy Spirit while you're in your seats and standing there, what is it that's distracting me? What is it that's keeping me from stepping in to what God's called me to do? What is it? Be brave enough to ask, and God will come through and answer you tonight.
Withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Presence.